Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Hey, the second to last daf of Maseches Bava Basra. We are holding on daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Bey, is at Amar Rav Huna Shchiv Meira. So we're toward the end of the page, but not all the way at the end of the page, about five lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. It is also sponsored in honor of the marriage of Ariella Newman to Eitan Suss, mazel tov to the Newman and Suss families. It is also sponsored by Rabbi and Ellen Wechselbaum, Rabbi Michael and Ellen Wechselbaum, Lezecha Nishmas, Ellen's father's yard site, Pinchas Yoel ben Yerachmiel Tzvi, Mr. Eugene Silverstein, whose fifth yard site is today, his Neshama Shavna Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to talk about today. First, we're going to discuss a Shchiv Meira. What if a person is a Shchiv Meira, and at the time that he's dying, he says that he owes money to a certain person? So do we believe him to owe that money to a certain person at the expense of his children, at the expense of Hegdish, if he was Maktish, all of his other Nechasim? So that means that Hegdish is going to lose out. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the din of Yisomim, who taina that they paid the chov of their father, that they claim that they already paid the chov of their father. So when are they believed? When are they not believed? The Gemara is then going to discuss, when the Shchiv Meira is Moda, some of the details of what exactly the dinim are, what he has to say, what the language he has to use is, and when we assume that it should be taken so seriously that we should write it down. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going to Amud Beis, is going to explain when a malva collects from nechasim that the lova had at the time of the loan, but has since sold or given away as a matana. Meaning, when do we assume that you're allowed to collect from nechasim mishubadim that are no longer in the hands of the lova? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion, and this is pretty much all of Amud Beis, about the very din of shibud. That when do we assume that there's is shibud d'oraisa, is shibud d'rabbanan? What are the ramifications of Shibud d'oraisa, Shibud d'rabbanan? When do we assume there's a shibud? When do we not assume that there's a shibud? What type of loans, etc.? So let's begin again toward the end of the page. Amar Rav Huna Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Rav Huna Shchiv Meira Shehikdish Kol Nechasav. We have a Shchiv Meira who's makdish all of his properties, but v'amar mana leploni biyadi. But he admits, he says, after he's makdish everything, that I owe a certain amount of money to a certain person. So even though I was makdish everything that I own, but among what I own, there is money that is owed to somebody else. It wasn't mine, and memela the hegdish is not going to be chal on that which I owe to somebody else, because that which I owe to somebody else goes to that somebody else. So Naaman, he's believed, and we give a mana to that person that he claims he owes the money to. And the reason why we're not choshesh that he's going to be meshaker, and he only said this in order to not have to give Hektish the money, and maybe it's a kununya he's making with this person. He realizes, hey, what did I do? I just gave away everything to Hektish. I still need some. I would like some money for myself. So he decides to say, oh, I gave $10,000 to Ploni, and he probably told Ploni beforehand, look, I'll say that I gave you $10,000. We'll split five and five, and that way, at least I won't have to give it all away. So why are we not choshish for such a thing? Chazak, you know, the most kununya al Hektish. We assume that a person does not do some type of trick like this, some type of ramos like this against Hegdish. So since based on what he's saying, we're going to take the money away from Hegdish and we're going to give it to somebody else, so we could assume for sure he's telling the truth. Now, we had a Gemara back on Daf Kuf Mem Ches, where the Gemara wasn't sure whether when a Shchiv Meira is Makdish all of his Nechasim, and then he becomes healthy, whether the Matana is invalidated. Like if a Shchiv Meira gives away all of his Nechasim to another person, to a Hedyot, if he gets healthy, the Matana is Batal, because we assume the fact that he gave away all of his Nechasim and left nothing for himself is a Raya that he was only giving it away, that he dies. Why would a person leave nothing for himself? And therefore, when he gets healthy, his matana is invalidated, and he's allowed to keep everything that he had, that he said he was going to give. That's when he gives to a hedyot. The Gemara raised a safek if he gives everything to Hegdish, and then he's hivri. do we assume that that it's batal matanaso? So the Rimigash and the Ravid write that we could be poshet that suffik. The Gemara raises it as a suffik. We could be poshet that suffik from Rav Huna right here. Rav Huna says the reason that a shchiv mirah who's makdish kol nechasov is neman to say that he's chayiv amana to a certain person is since a person doesn't make a kununya al hagdish. Now, if the din was that if he were to get healthy, the whole hakdash is invalidated anyway, and it all goes right back to him anyway, so it's pashut that he's neman to say that a mana belongs to a certain person, because if he wants, he could just be mevatel the entire matana. He's obviously okay over here, meaning he's obviously not dead. So if he's not dead, then the whole matana could be, he could back out on the entire matana if he wants, because any matana that if he's gets healthy, he could be mevatel. He could be mevatel even if he's a shchiv mira. He could be chozer from it as well, even if he's not healthy, meaning we know that he's not dead, but maybe he's still a shchiv mira. But that's the halacha. The halacha is that any matana that if he's hivri, it would be invalidated. As a shchiv mira, he could still invalidate it. So that's the ha'ara of the Rimigash and the Ravid, that we finally, 25 blot later, are able to be poshe to safek that we raised all the way back then. However, Tosos in Dibra Maschel Shchiv Mira notes the same point, and he says you cannot be poshet the safek, because Rav Huna over here is not talking about a person who was makdish all of his nechasim while he was a Shchiv Mira. No, he's talking about a person who was makdish all of his nechasim when he was a bari, and then when he became a Shchiv Mira, he said, Oivei, I still owe a mana leploni, meaning so he was makdish everything earlier on, but as a Shchiv Mira, he admits that he owes a mana leploni. So his ne'amanus says, since by a shchiv mirah there's a chazaka that a person doesn't make a kanunya on hagdish, and that's how the Ramban and the Rashba explain as well. The Ritva writes that Rav Huna has nothing to do with the Gemara that we spoke with the previous Gemara about a shchiv mirah shehivri, since that was makdish all of his nechasim was hivri, because even if he, the tzad in the Gemara over there that if he's hivri the matan is going to be batel, but calls man that he's not hivri, he cannot be chozer on his matan from Hagdish, because I'm Rasul Gval Kamisi Rasul Hedyot. It's only by a Hedyot that we have the klal that if something was given as a matna shchiv mira, where if he would be Hivri, it would be Batel, then you could be Choser even if you're not Hivri. That's stuff if you were giving to Hedyot. But if you're giving to Hagdish, that klal doesn't hold true. When you're giving to Hagdish, even if, when you're the rule would be that if you are Hivri, if you get better, the matana is Batel, that doesn't mean you could be Mvatel matana as a shchiv mira, because I'm Rasul. It's as if you did an actual kinyan with Hagdish. So those are three approaches in the Rishonim. So again, the Rimigash and the Ravid assume that that we have a clear raya from our Gemara to that suffix that was raised all the way back on Kuf Mem Chesem Beis. Tosla says, no, not a clear raya from our Gemara, because our Gemara is a slightly different case. And the Ritva says, not a raya from our Gemara, not because our Gemara is a different case, but because you're making the Raya is making an assumption that that which is true about giving the Hedyot v'Hivri is also true about giving the Hagdish v'Hivri, and that assumption is not true. Those are the three basic shitos. Now Tosos adds that the reason that Rav Huna Dafka chooses to say a case that he says it when he's a Shchiv Mira is since if he was a Bari he wouldn't be believed, because a Bari were always that he's also kanunya al hagdish in order to split the money with the other person. And the Gemara in Arach and Dav Chav Gimel says that only by a shchiv mirah who's about to die and he's not going to really benefit from this anyway, that's where we're not choshesh that he's also kanunya in hagdish, in order that other people should get hanah from his money, so that his yorshim will get hanah from his money. This is an application of the principle that appears in Masechta Bamitzia, ein odem chotei v'lo lo. You're not going to do an avera that you're not going to even benefit from. People have yetzer hara to do averas when they feel that they're benefiting from the Avera. It's a messed up cost benefit analysis, because they don't realize that their momentary benefit doesn't compare to the Gehenim that they're gonna. But okay, but at least they're gonna benefit. But if they're not gonna benefit, a person is not gonna. We assume a person is not going to do an Avera. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So we had said a Shchiv Mira is makdish everything, and then he says that by the way I owe man al ploni. We believe him because a person doesn't make a kanunya al hagdish. So mask. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman challenges, according to you, that Shchiv Mra is not going to lie when he's modev. What would a person make a kununya against his own children to make them lose out on their Yerusha and to give his money to other people? Certainly not. Both Rav and Shmuel say, Shchiv Mra Sha'amar Mana Laploni Biyadi. If a Shchiv Mra says that I owe a certain amount of money to so and so, do the Yorshim have the responsibility to take care of it and to give that mana to that person that he says he owes the money to? So Amar Tanu Nostin. If he had said, I owe mana l'poni biyadi, Tanu, give it to him, then the Yorshim have to give it to him. Lo Amar Tanu, but if he did not say Tanu, he just said mana l'poni biyadi, ain't Nostin, then we don't give it to him. So since it's a davar barur that a person will not make a kununya against his own children, and he doesn't want to make his children lose money, Alma Adam Asrish Lalas Bias Banav. You see from here that there's a different chashash with this hoda'a, that why is it that we're not automatically going to assume that it's the truth and that you're going to give money to the person that he says he owes the money to? It must be not because I'm choshesh that he's making some sort of trick in order to rob money from his children. No, there's a different chashash, and that is that Adam Asrish Lalas Bias Banav, that he doesn't want his children to appear as wealthy people, that everyone's going to see that he was morish all this money to them, and everyone's going to give an ayin hara to them. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom says. Everyone's going to give ayin ra'a. The Yad Rama, however, says that he wants everyone to think that they're aniyim because he's afraid of the gazlanim v'chamsanim, that if everyone sees that they have a lot of money, then everyone's going to be after them, including all the gazlanim are going to know that that's where the money is, so that's where the who's the famous bank robber that they asked, why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is, right? So they're going to go. They're going to go to this person because that's where the money is, so he's going to want to make it that his children shouldn't appear to be very wealthy. So he said some of that money doesn't even belong to them, but the hodah is not going to be mechayev the yorshim to actually give the mana to that plony. It was just to be shalola hasbia as atzmor, shalola hasbia as banav, even though it's not really a true taina. Now the Rashba raises the question: why, if he doesn't say tenu, do the Yorshim not have to give it? Isn't there a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? Whatever happened to gittin daf yadal, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? So the Rashba writes that mitzvah is only when he says to give matana from his nechasim to a particular person. But over here, he's moda that he's chayiv, and we are mefaresh that he's moda in order shalol asbias banav. Meaning mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is when there are instructions to do something. Over here, he was not an instruction to do something. It's in fact, every time you find mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames in Shas, it's always a form of kinyan. It's always about dini mamonos. A lot of people misunderstand the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. They think it means that if a mace has some request, he would like all of his descendants to wear red shirts on Tuesdays, whatever. So then that's it. All of his descendants have to wear red shirts on Tuesday. That's not true. That's not what mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames means. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is always about dini mamonos. It's always about what's going to be with his money. So anyway, so it says the Gemara, hachanami. So if you're also, when it comes to Hagdish, where it's where from his words you don't necessarily know that he's chayiv money to that person, it could be that Adam Asrish Lalas Bias Atzmo, that he just doesn't want to make it look like he's a wealthy guy. So how come Rav Huna says that we accept whatever he says and we're motzi the mamon from Hegdish and we give it to that ploni? Maybe he just doesn't want to make it look like he's a wealthy guy. He doesn't want people after his money. So again, so we started off with the statement of Rav Huna that if Shchiv Mera had given everything to Hegdish, and then he says, but I still owe a mana to Ploni, we trust him and we give that mana to Ploni. So Frekta Gemara, well, with his children we don't trust him, we assume that it's just Shalol Asbias Banav. So why, when it comes to Hagdish, why don't we just assume it's Shalol Asbias Atzmo? So answers the Gemara, Kikam Rav Huna Hasam Tinakit Shtara. When Rav Huna says L'gabe Hagdish, it's a case where that person that he's admitting to that he owes the money has a Shtar Chov against him, and since the Shchiv Mera's Moda that he owes the money, so we take the money away from him, even though that's going to be a loss to Hegdish. So they ask the Gemara, wait, the case is a Shtar Chov, and that's when we're motzi the mamon based on what the Shchiv Mera is admitting that he still owes? Mechlal, the implication is, to Rav Shmuel, that when Rav and Shmuel said that a Shchiv Mera is moda, that he owes money to somebody else, if he didn't say tenu, we do not listen to him, and we do not give that money to that person, to lo nakit shtara, is talking the case where the guy doesn't have a shtar chov against the shchivmra. But then why amar tenu nosnin? Why if he says tenu, do we give it to him? Milval pehava. It's only a milval peh. Ravish moldamit tavay milval peh nukav lo mina yarshim lo mina lekuchos. The rule is that a milval peh does not get collected from yarshim and does not get collected from lekuchos. So even if he says tenu, and we know that the chov is true, but nevertheless we should not be the yarshim should not be chayiv to pay up that chov because milval peh doesn't get paid from yarshim or lekuchos. The Rashbam raises the obvious question. He says, "Well, wait a second. How do I know that the reason Rav and Shmuel say that when he says tenu that we're nosdim is because he's ne'eman in his hoda'a and mainly even if he's makdish his nechasim in his moda, the malva could collect from hagdish? It could be that the chiv of the yarshim to pay is because when he said tenu, it's mitzvah came to remes, meaning it may not be a din ne'emanos, but he's saying this is what I want you to do with my money. He says tenu, and that's a mitzvah that's mutal on the yisomim. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be mechayiv hegdish. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes is a mitzvah that the yisomim have to be mechayim divrei emes. So the Gemara's equation that whatever's going to be true about the yisomim is also going to be true about hegdish, that doesn't work over here. So says the Rashbam, if the basis of Rav and Shmuel was that the yorshim have to pay the chov only after their father's death, where the mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, if that was the real reason of Rav and Shmuel, then the yorshim would only have to pay the chov after the father's dead. That's where mitzvah l'kayim ames divrei ames is going to apply, but not if he's still alive. Over here, we're saying that they have to pay it even while he's still alive. So therefore, we know it's not a function of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames; it's a function of his ne'emanos. So Rav Nachman now comes up with a different chiluk between that which Rav Huna said and that which Rav and Shmuel said. Again, that which Rav Huna said with regard to a shchiv mira who had given everything to Hegdish, and that which Rav and Shmuel said about a shchiv mira who said manul ponu biyadi at the expense of his yorshim. Ella amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says there is no chiluk between Hegdish and Hedyot. Edi v'edi did not get shtara. Both Rav Huna's case, where you were makdish all the nechasim and his moda that he owes a certain amount of money to a particular person, and Rav and Shmuel's case, where he's being morish all of his nechasim to his children, and he's moda that he owes a certain amount of money to a particular person, they're both talking about a case where the guy that he's moda he owes the money to has a shtar chov against the shchiv mira velo kasha, and it's not a stira. Ha demakuyam v'ha delamakuyam. Rav Huna is talking about taking the money away from Hegdish because the shtar that the other fellow has is a shtar makuyam, and therefore you could collect that amount of money. Rav and Shmuel talking about a case where the shtar is not makuyam. So therefore, Ammar Tanu, if the Shchivra says give it, so kime the shtare, he was makayim with his hoda'a, he's makayim the shtar, and therefore the guy is able to collect with it, meaning he's makayim his own shtar by saying Tanu, but lo Ammar Tanu lo kime. But if he doesn't say tenu, then even though he's chayiv that he owes him money, we're choshesh that he was just trying shalolas pias banav. He just didn't want to make his kids look rich. But really, the shtar is not a true shtar, and therefore you cannot be gova based on that hoda'a. The only way you could be gova with that shtar is if he's mekayim the shtar, and only then can they use that shtar to collect with it. So that's the sugya. Now the Tosos raises the point. What emerges from this Gemara is that when Rav Huna says a person's makdish kol nechasav, he's still neman to say that a certain portion of that nechasim belongs to somebody else, that he owes money to somebody else. That's only if that other person has a shtar negdo. That's only if that other person has a shtar that confirms that he owes this money to that other person. So Frek Tosos in Dibra Maschel Hadu Mekuyam, if that's the case, what's the chiddush of Rav Huna? It's pashut that he's neman in his hoda'a. The other guy's got a shtar against him. Of course he's neman that he owes the money. We have a shtar that says that he owes the money. And also, why is there a klal why do we even require that the lova is going to be moda that he owes the money to the pony, even if he says he doesn't owe the money of the plony? The other guy's got a shtar makuyam biyado, right? Someone has a shtar makuyam that says that you owe me money. Isn't that the point of a shtar? That, so that if the other guy denies it, I could say, I got a shtar that says that you owe me the money, and it's a shtar mekuyam. So what is the hoda'a of this chiv mirah playing a role at all? Furthermore, Tosfos asks, why does Rav Huna say dafka case where he's makdish is nechasim, and why dafka case of a chiv mirah where there's a special svara of einad demos kenun yal hegdish when he's a chiv mirah that a person wouldn't mess around with hegdish as a chiv mirah? A shtar mekuyam you could always be kovah with, meaning the answer was too good, right? Once we say that there was a shtar mekuyam and that's why we know that he's going to owe the money, that's why he's going to have to give the money to the person, that's too good of a reason, because then I don't need any of the other factors once there's a shtar mekuyam in the picture. So Tosfos says Rav Huna had to say this din dafka in such a case that the malva is gova without a shvua, but if the lova was not moda, then of course he could collect, but he'd be chayiv a shvua that it hasn't been previously paid. And even lahegdish he would be chayiv a shvua if not for the fact that the shchiv mirah was ne'eman in his hoda'a. So that's really the entire thing over here. It's not that the shchiv mirah would not have been ne'eman, it's just that it would require one additional step by the malva in order to get paid, and that would be that the malva would have to take a shvua. And it's only because of the ne'emanus of the shchiv mirah that the malva is not going to have to take a shvua. Okay, so weiter in the Gemara now. Amar Rabba, shchiv mirah shamar mana l'ploni biyadi. Shchiv mirah says, I owe a certain amount of money to Ploni. Va'amru yisom in Peranu, and the yisom say, we were aware of it, and we've already paid it. Ne'emanim, so they are believed. But if he said, tnu mana l'ploni, v'amru yisom in Peranu, ein ne'emanim. But if the shchiv mirah said, give a mana l'ploni, and the yisom claim that they've already paid it, then they're not believed. So ask the Gemara, klap elaya, it should be the ipcha mistavra. Now, which direction are you facing? It should be the exact opposite. That amr tnu mana, given the paska avu and the milsa, since the father said it in such a clear way with direction, you must give this. Therefore, in such a case, I would assume that they paid the chov to that person and that they'd be believed that they had done so. But mana l'plona biyadi, given the paska avu and the milsa, ikalimemer de lo pare. But if he just said mana l'ploni biyade and he never instructed them what to do, so then it's possible that they didn't pay it and they should not be believed that they had actually already paid it. Ela yitmar hachi yitmar. So if you want to say over Rabba's teaching, it has to be as follows: that shchiv mirah shamar mana l'ploni biyade v'amri somun chazar v'amr lanu abba parati ne'emanin. That a shchiv mirah says that I owe money to so and so, and he did not say tenu, and then the yisomim say afterwards, oh, before he died, Dad told us that he had already paid it, so then that we believe them. But my time, well, what's the reason? So the Gemara explains, when he says mana l'ploni biyadi, we assume that originally he was mesupak, and therefore he didn't say tenu, meaning he stopped short of what he should have done. I mean, if you really owe money to somebody, and you're a shchiv mirah, and you're instructing your children about it, so why did you stop short of saying, and therefore please give it to him? So he stopped short because he was mesupak about it. So it could be that after he said he was chayiv mana l'ploni, it kuri mitkar, he remembered that he had already paid it, and therefore the children are neman to say that that's taka exactly what happened, that he had remembered that he had already paid it, and therefore the money is not owed. And the reason that Tosfos points out in Dibra Maschil Chazar, the reason for that neman is to say such a thing is because the father himself would have been Naaman to be chozer from his hoda'a and to say, I remember I already paid it. Migo, that he could have said that he paid it right now after his hoda'a. So with that, he would for sure be Naaman. So since he could have said, yeah, I was moda yesterday and that's why I paid it this morning. So we believe him to say, I was moda yesterday and then I realized that I had paid it last week. I realized I had paid it a month ago. So the father would be believed with the Migo, and therefore the children are believed to say that the father in fact claimed to have already paid it. But if when he was first instructing his children, he said, Tenu mana l'ploni, he said a lashon of Tenu mana l'ploni, that I want you to give this mana to Ploni, va'amru yisom chazav yamar abba parati, and then the yisom say, oh, but before he died, he told us that he had already paid it prior to that, einam manam, then we do not believe them. Demisa depari lo avamru tenu, because if there was even a possibility that he had paid it, if it was even a suffix in his mind that he had paid it, he never would have said it in such a clear and with such a clear directive of tenu that they must give it. So that's why they're not going to be believed with such a taina. Okay, so boy Rava shchiv mirah shahoda mahu. If a shchiv mirah, someone has a monetary claim against a shchiv mirah in front of Edim, and he's moda to that monetary claim, so what's the din? Tzarich lomar atemei dai. Does he have to say atemei dai? Normally, when someone's modul chavero after a tevia, you have to say atemei dai in order to be mochiach that your kavana is to be mechayiv yourself with that hoda'ah and not just to mess around with the toveya or to just get him off your back. Meaning, a healthy person that's modul and says atemei dai, that's considered a valid hoda'ah and he really owes the money. But if a healthy person is modul and does not say atem edai, the halacha is, we're going to have also given Masech Sanhedrin, is that he could tie into the PMS, he doesn't really owe anything, and the fact that he said that he was moda was bederach shtus, that since you were you made a tvi against me with something ridiculous, so I was moda to you with something ridiculous, but really I'm not chayiv, that the whole thing was a joke. I thought the whole conversation, we were just joking around, hey, you owe me $1 million, yeah, I owe you $1 million, but only if I say atem edai, the two witnesses, you see that I'm admitting, only then is it taken seriously. So by a shchiv merah, do we say the same thing? Does he have to say atem edai or not? Another suffix Rava has, a shchiv merah that's molded in front of Edom that he owes someone money, tzarek shiomar ksovu, does he need to tell the Edom to write it down in order for them to have a right to put pen to paper and to create a shtar on this hoda'ah? Normally a person, a healthy person, who says in front of Edom that he's chayiv money, they're only allowed to write it down if he instructs them ksovu. So is that true by shchiv merah or in tzarech lama ksovu? Or maybe by shchiv merah, we assume that everything is serious, he doesn't have time to go through all the formalities of language that you normally have to go through when you're a healthy person, and therefore we could just write it down. So Rava explains the two sides of the first suffix, as far as does he need to say atem edai or not. Do people have these facetious joking around conversations at the time that he's dying, when he's a shchiv merah, or do people not do that? Meaning the reason a healthy person who doesn't say atem edai and is just modin that he owes the money, that is not considered hodah, is because we assume the whole conversation was a joke. Do we assume that a shchiv merah would engage in a conversation that's a joke or not? So Basar Debaya Hadar Pashta. After Rava raised these sveikos, he was then poshet both of these sveikos. Ein adam mishata b'shas misa. We assume people don't mess around when they're when they're dying, and therefore he does not have to say atem edai. And as far as the second suffik, when shchiv merah says something, that's as if it's already written in shtar, and therefore you don't need to say ksovu. And the reason is that chamur masakin, that it's ksuvim kumasurim, we already had back on daf kof mem zayin, that if we don't give extra credence to whatever Shchiv Mirah says, it's going to upset him, because he's going to think, I'm saying a bunch of things and nobody's listening to me and nothing's going to happen from what I'm saying, and no one's going to be Mekayim that which I'm saying. And upsetting him is not something you want to do with a person who's on his deathbed. So Chacham made a special takana that even though normally you need certain formalities of language and maybe you need a certain kinyanim, when it comes to Shchiv Mirah, whatever he says goes. We're just going to do whatever it is that he says. Tosus and Rashba write that this is not the same din that we mentioned before, the Divrei Shchiv Merah Kiksuv Kumsurin Dami, because if the Gemara means to say that if the Shchiv Merah gave Matana, meaning over there the Gemara means to say that a Shchiv Merah gave a matana, it's as if he wrote a shtar on it and he gave it to the Mekabel, and Memela the Mekabel already has a kinyan on it. Whereas over here the Gemara is just saying that his hoda'a is considered as if the Gemara is not saying that when he was moda it's as if a shtar is already written, it's just that his words are as strong as if it were written in a shtar, and it's, therefore it's as if he told the Edom, he instructed the Edom to write a shtar, but not that the kinyan already happened, but that when he's saying something, it's as if he, even though he left out that formality of telling them to write a shtar, it's as if he told them to write a shtar. So that's what the Rishonim point out, that it's not exactly Divrei Shchiv Merah Kiksuvim Kumsurim Dami, and that's why it was a suffik, right? Meaning, because it's not exactly the same case. It's an extension of Divrei Shchiv Merah Kiksuvim Kumsurim Dami, that we need to take everything the Shchiv Merah says very, very seriously. So now the Mishnah discusses Nechasim Meshubadim. Amalvas Chaver B'Shtar. Someone who lends money to somebody else with a shtar, and they have Edom sign the shtar, But it doesn't say in the Shtar that explicitly that you can collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. Nevertheless, Gova, I mean Nechasim Meshubadim, you could collect from any karka that anybody had purchased from the Lova after the time of the Halva'a, because all of the Nechasim that the Lova owned became Meshubah to the Malva at the time of the Halva'a, and the Shibud comes before the Lokeach had purchased that properly. So since any Shtar that's signed by Edim has a kol and everyone knows about it, so the Kuchos should have been able to clarify whether this person had debts, whether this person owed money, and therefore they should have they knew the risks in buying this property from this lova. Al yaday edim, but a halva'a that happened in front of edim without any signed shtar, gova min chasim b'nei charin. Then you can only collect from the chasim that the lova still has, and not from the chasim that are meshubah to other people, because the halva'a with edim without a shtar doesn't have the same call, it's not as mefursam, and therefore there's no way for lukuchos to protect themselves. There's no amount of research that they could do that will actually protect themselves from making a bad investment. So it's unfair to take away properties that they had purchased from the Lova. So the Mishnah now explains the din of a halva'a that's written in a shtar of a ksav yad of the Lova without chasim ha'edim. Meaning so far we have two extreme cases. We have a shtar with chasim ha'edim where there's for sure a shibud nechasim and you collect from nechasim ha'shvadim, and we had a milval peh in front of edim where you for sure cannot collect from nechasim ha'shvadim. What if the Malva has a shtar that there are no edim, but the Lova himself wrote b'ksav yado that he owes him the money? So they write there's a halacha when you borrow money that there should be some sort of shtar. So even if you're not going to have edim, at least b'ksav yado there should be some sort of IOU that's written. So if he's motzi lo, that's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So if he's motzi lo b'ksav yado that he owes him the money, gova min nechasim necharin. So the Malva can only collect from nechasim necharin, not from nechasim meshubadim, because a shtar that doesn't have Edom signed on it is not going to have a call, it's not going to be before some, and it could be that the Lukuchos were totally unaware that there was any Shibud on these karkos, and therefore there is no Shibud on these karkos. We cannot collect from them. So Shtarchov that has Edom has two dinim that are different from a Stam Halva that's done in front of Edom. Number one, that you go over Nuchasim Shabadim because there's a call, and number two, that the Lov is not Neman to say that he already paid the Chov, because the Malv will say Shtarchov Biyadi my Bai, if you already paid the chov, how come I still have the shtar? You should have taken back the shtar from me. Now the Mishnah says that a shtar b'ksav yado is not like a shtar be'edim legabe the first of the two halachos. That a shtar be'edim is different from a milval peh, and therefore you can only collect from the chasim nechori. The Mishnah never addresses legabe the second halacha that distinguishes a milval peh from a milva b'shtar. What is a shtar without edim, right? Do we assume that shtar chabiyadi may bayi? Do we assume that the lov is not neman to say parati? So that's a machlokas rishonim, whether the lov is neman to say that he paid against the shtar b'ksav yado. The sheet of the Rambam, malva lova parakir alf halacha gimel, is that he is neman to say parati. The Ramban in the Melchamos explains that by shtar b'ksav yado, you can't say shtar chabiyadi may bayi, because it's a shtar gerua, where that can be used to collect from the Shubadim, and the Lova is not always going to be makbit to take it back when he pays back his loan. So it could be that he paid back his loan and he just left it with the Malva, so he's never to say Parati, as opposed to a Shtar with Edom, when there's a Shibud on it, so he's going to make sure he gets that Shtar back. So that is the Shita of the Rambam. However, the Balamor, the Rashba, the Yad Ramah, they all disagree, and they say legabe Titus Parati, this shtar has a din of a shtar be'edim, where the lova could still say shtar chabiyadi my bayi. So two differences between a milva alpeh and a milva b'shtar. The milva with a shtar that doesn't have edim and it's only b'ksav yado, legabe the first of those two differences, our Mishnah is clear that it has a din of a milva alpeh and not a milva b'shtar. Legabe the second of the two differences is a machlokas rishonim. So now the Mishnah says, if you have a co-signer that writes that indicates that he's being mechayev himself to be an arev after the signatures on the shtar, so the chasimos of the on the end of the shtar are not being made to this person's arvus, gova min chasim necharin. The malva can only collect from the chasim necharin of the arev, not from the chasim shubadim, because there was no call about the arev. Maiso balifnei Rabbi Shmuel, there was a mice of such a shtar where the the Ariv came after the Chisim Shtaros that came to Rabbi Shmuel, Va'amar Gova Minichas Minichorin. And he said that they collect from Minichas Minichorin. So Amalo Benanas. Benanas said, Einu Gova Lo Minichas Mishmal, Lo Minichas Minichorin. No, in such a case, the Malva cannot collect from either one. Benanas is Rabbi Shimon Benanas. He appears in a couple of places in Shas. He's not called Rabbi because at the Shas Maisa he did not yet have Smicha. That's what Marsha says. So over here we call him just Benanas. He eventually grew into Rabbi Shimon Benanas. But okay, but he says he shouldn't collect from either one. Some of us, Rabbi Shmuel said, Lama, why shouldn't he collect from the Chasam Lechorin? The love himself signed. It's like a star b'ksav yado. You should be able to collect from it. Some of us, Benanas responded, Harei Achorik Esechad B'shok. If someone chokes someone in the marketplace, a person grabs someone and to pay his chov, and someone else comes and sees him choking the guy, trying to get his money back from him, and he says, leave that loaf alone, I'll pay it, just leave the guy alone, don't kill the guy. So pater, so the person is the person who said leave him alone is pater, because shalo ala menuso hulvahu, the malva did not lend the money to the lova because of the ne'amonos of such an arev, because at the time of the halva'a there was no arev. So even though now that he's trying to get paid back and he's beating the guy up in the shuk, he's saying he's going to pay him back, he's only saying it because he doesn't want you to choke the guy to death. So here also, at the time of the Chasima Sa'idim, there was no Arev. The Arev only came in afterwards. That's not a real Arev. You can't go and collect from such an Arev. Ella, Ezu Arev Shuchayev. When is an Arev actually going to be going to be responsible to actually pay back? That's if Hilveu Vani Nosimcha. That's if he tells the Malva before the loan, please lend this guy money and don't worry, I'm good for the money. If he's not good, if the loaf is not good for the money, I'm good for the money. So then Chayiv, Shekein al Emunuso Hvo, because he was only willing to lend the money due to the Arev. That's the definition of an Arev. Vam Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says, Harotza Sheyachim Yasuk Bedine Mamanis. So Rabbi Shmuel tells us, when he heard Ben Nanas' brilliant presentation, he said, if a person wants to become a Chacham, he should be Osik Bedine Mamanis, because there are very deep and clever dinim over here in Dinim Mamanis. Shein Lecha Mekzoa B'Torah Yosu Mehen. There's no corner of Torah or section of Torah that requires more chachma than dinei mamnas. Then kamayin hanoveya, and it's like a constant wellspring. Varotze shiasuk b'dinei mamnas, and someone who wants to be osik in dinei mamnas, yishami shishim benanas. He should hang out with Shimon benanas because he seems to be an incredible expert in dinei mamnas. The Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos writes shein lecha shum davar midinei haTorah miyisur v'heter shenasna ba haTorah rishus. There's no area of Torah that involves as much human input in terms of understanding the halachos, in terms of being able to come up with chaps and whatever, more than dinei mamnas. That the Torah is like has given like a nachal b'li mitzarim. That all of dinei isur v'heter, when you're mistapik b'davar, you're machmir b'shal Torah. As opposed to dinei mamnas, you can't get out of it, just to be machmir misafek, because whatever is a chumra lezu is a kula lezu. So it's true, we have other ways of resolving sveikos, but no one's happy with them, meaning it's a motzi mechaveru lavaraya, mamra motzi besavik cholkin, it ends up with no one being happy. It's dafka by dinei mamnas, where you really ultimately have to make a decision, and therefore there's a lot more human input. Amar ula, so now let's talk a little bit about shibud. Amar ula, dvar Torah, echon mil b'shtar v'echon mil v'alpeh, gov min chas mishvadim. On a d'oraisa level, even a mil v'alpeh, can collect from the chasim shabbatim. My timer shibud the daraisa, because the concept of shibud the chasim is the din daraisa. Vela matam amru milval peh enu govel the chasim nechorin. Why is it that they said that milval peh can only collect from the chasim nechorin? We've shum pseidah the lukuchos, because it's going to be a loss to the lukuchos otherwise, that they have no idea that there's a shibud on this karka. Iachi milva b'shtar nami. Then why don't we protect the lukuchos in the case of a milva b'shtar just the same? Hasam inu ninu dafsidu anafshayim. No, because that's something they could have found out about, and therefore they lose out by not doing the proper research before purchasing this property. V'rabba Amar, That really on a Daraisa level, no one collects from Lechasim Mishabadim. My time is Shibudu Lav Daraisa, because Shibudu is really Lav Daraisa. And the only reason the Chacham made a takana that a Milbiv Shtar can collect from Lechasim Mishabadim is to encourage people to lend money, knowing that as long as the guy that's borrowing the money from me has properties, I'll always be able to go back to those properties. So why don't we say the same thing by Milval Pe? Hasam Lasle Kala, because over there there's no kol when it comes to a Milva Al Pe. So those are the two presentations. Whether what the din midar raisa is, but midar raisa certainly Milval Pe and Milva Bishtar have the same status. So Bez Hashem tomorrow we'll continue with this discussion of Shibud, and we will Bez Hashem finish the Masechta tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.